Dear Heavenly Father, we're destined for great things in you. Father, I thank you that you have given us all that we need that pertain to life, natural life and godliness. Father, my heart is that, as I share with your wonderful people today, the destiny of our church, Father, I pray that they get a hold of the vision, they hook up with it, and move with it. Father, I ask you to anoint the ears of every listener and speak to their hearts to join us in what you've commissioned us to do for the future in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning is a special service, although I will get the chance to preach the Word of God for those that come for the Word. But open your heart up and listen to what we have to share with you this morning, and it'll bless you. Because usually when a vision goes down the road a long time, people lose sight of it. And the prophet said that when the vision is written, adhere to it. Because it shall take some time, but in its due season it'll come. And needless to say that time is marching on. And when time marches on, you don't see the results that you'd like to. You begin to seek the Lord. I put many hours in praying in tongues and even fasting and seeking the Lord for the ministry by His Word. Never before has He so clearly spoken to me that He has this last year. It just seemed like I was just spinning my wheels, because it seemed like the more I got into my prayer closet, the more I prayed, nothing was really being mentioned about the ministry, and that's what I was seeking Him for, but all kinds of revelations started coming out of the Word of God. And so I was real frustrated, and I says, God, every time I go into my prayer closet and seek you and pray, I get more insight, more revelation of the Word, but I'm really frustrated about the ministry here. And, you know, God, you know, in spite of some believers, they come across like God's a blabbermouth. But I found the closer I walk with God, He doesn't talk all that much. But when He does say something to you, it's profound. You know what I mean? And that profoundness doesn't need much revelation either, or much insight. It just really speaks to your heart in such a way it goes deep. This morning what we're going to do is we're going to share with you the vision of His Word Christian Center. We're going to make it real plain. And our key thought is connect. People have to connect with people. People have to connect with the Word of God. Amen. If you don't connect with the Word of God, you will not connect with people. Because God's a people person. Have you guys figured that out by now? God exists for people. He's a glorious Father, I'll tell you. And so this morning what we're going to do is I'm going to share with you what God has spoken and put on my heart for by His Word. And I had not realized the frustration of my own staff. It not really given a clear explanation of what our church is about. Till in staff meeting one morning, I was confronted with it. But I already knew in my heart what God was requesting of me for by His Word Christian Center. It's been there all along from the beginning. But you know, how many of you know there's a season and time for everything? And there is a season and time for every one of you in your walk with the Lord. Some Christians never really get to that place where that season and time for the fullness of God's theirs, because What they're trying to do is find an answer in the natural rather than where they are spiritually. And I can remember way back when God asked me to pastor. I was a little shocked. I went home and told my wife, and she was shocked too. So we got a big laugh out of it. Both of us got a big laugh out of it. But you know what? No matter what I tried to do, it failed. Until finally I made a decision. I'm going to go ahead and answer that call. It was the hardest call I ever answered to pastor. It was freaky too. Matter of fact, Gary and Charlotte are here. And Gary remembers sitting in my living room when I came home from the park that day. And he was sitting there. And Gary, the previous week, had warned me not to leave the church I was at, to stay there. And Gary and Sue were in my house when I got back from the park that day. And I don't know how many hours I was in the park, but Gary was sitting there, and the Lord had spoken to him, woke him up in the night and spoke to him to help support me to get the work going. And my wife is standing in the doorway between the kitchen and the living room. And matter of fact, when I came in, I told them both, I'm going to go ahead and start a church. I know that's not what you want to hear. And Gary wasn't against that. He was for it. And he told me the Lord spoke to him to support that. And he did. My wife standing in the doorway, the one that laughed at me when I was going to pastor, said, you can't even pastor your home. How are you going to pastor a church? And I agreed with her. She said, I know the Lord gave me a dream. And in the dream, he appeared to me and said, I'm calling your husband to pastor. But remember that verse I told you that I opened the Bible up, I was frustrated, and I just pointed my finger at the verse, and the Lord told me, if you're going to pull that stunt, he says, you better do what your finger lands on. And I was looking for an excuse to really get out of the responsibility of something that he was asking me to do. Mainly because you know something, you know when God calls you to do something, you know, really different. How many of you found that it's, in the natural, it's beyond yourself? Yeah, I found that God goes beyond yourself when you start running with Him. You want to know why? Because God's in you. And if God's in you, the beautiful thing about that is God's looking to just work through you. He's not asking you to do it. So if God was depending on your strength to get anything accomplished, He wouldn't call you. But when He calls you, He wants you to get out of the way so He can work through you. And I don't care how much of us knows that. Every one of us fall trap to losing confidence in what God's called us to do. You guys have probably lost confidence in what God's called you to do. Don't lose confidence. Because remember, God lives in you. And if He's living in you, all you got to do is get out of the way and He'll work through you. Praise God. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 is where the Lord told me, well, if you go and stick your finger on the word, He says, you better do what you stick your finger on. And so I figured, well, if this doesn't prove out itself, then I'm just hearing things. So I closed my eyes and I said a few words in tongues, and I flipped my Bible open with my eyes closed, and I took my little finger. And I didn't realize when I took my finger, from the time I took my finger to the time I put it in the Bible, God guided that thing there. Foomp. And when I looked at 1 Chronicles 28:10, I went into shock. And it says, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now, see how thick this Bible is? There's a lot of words in here. And when I put my finger on it, I just kept reading it over and over. And you know what broke my concentration on that verse? The Lord spoke to me and said, did you get it? I said, yeah, I guess I did. Did, Lord. I got it. Well, then he gave me some other verses here in this area. And one was verse 20. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, my God, will be with you. For he will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Then he talked in verse 21 about he would give me people that would work with me and compliment me and help me. Then in verse 29, verse 1 at the end, he says, and the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, when I first read this, I knew very well that the house that the Lord wanted me to build was not a physical house like it was at the time that this writing had taken place, because God was showing David and the nation of Israel that Solomon would be the one to build the temple. David was refused. David made preparations for it, but he was refused because of the bloodiness that was on his hands. And so he had chosen Solomon. And so I knew that what he was talking about was that first place, that first temple. But when I began to really seek the Lord over a period of time, he began to give me specific prophecies, and I never took heed to them like I should have. But the weight of the ministry began to weigh on me, and so my distraction got off the course of what I was called to do. But in the meantime, a burning desire in my heart for praying in the Spirit and receiving insight or supernatural insight or revelation for the Word kept building in me. And even to the point where I was neglecting the call of the ministry to a point, because I was more interested in my prayer closet. Matter of fact, when you start pastoring people, people can get to you, and so you escape from them. And one of the ways of I escaped was two ways. One, I'd get involved in guns and rifles and things like that. And the other way that I would escape was I'd get off my prayer closet praying tongues for new revelation or insight. So those were the two avenues of my escape. And over a period of time, God comes back to visit you. I'd gotten cold in the Lord, and I've told you the story about 18, 19 years ago. Got very cold in the Lord. We hadn't been in this church very long. And I got desperate and stood my ground in my office. Told the Lord I wasn't going to make another step until the fire came back. And then God visited me in a wonderful, beautiful way and said, it's not up to me to build a fire in you. It's up to you to build your own fire. And so he did. And I never went back to living that way ever again, cold and complacent and indifferent. But it caused me to drive closer to my prayer closet. It caused a lot of peeling off in those that were around me, but the fire was burning in my heart. It still is today. Praise God, I'll never allow myself to get to where I no longer have a desire for the Word of God. It consumes me. Everything I do at home, or if I'm even messing around with guns or whatever it is, my mind is on the Lord constantly. I'm always going over Scripture and praying in tongues, and I get a little hold up, and then I break the mystery to that little hold up in the understanding of the Word of God. My last venture was the book of Revelations. I started asking people questions about it, and I wasn't too happy with some of the information I was getting, but you know, I'm a contextual teacher. I believe that everything has to be understood contextually before it can be broken off and shared with other passages of Scripture. The setting has to fit where it fits. For years, and you can all testify to this, I've never preached sermons on the parable of the servants. One was given 5 talents, one 10, and one, and because it was determined upon the man who had given the 1 talent to bring an increase to it, because he didn't, he suffered in the regions of the damned. So I couldn't figure out how those talents fit into Christianity and the dispensation of grace. So you guys were the church, you know, I've never preached on it. because I never had the revelation of it. But when I found out the revelation of it, now I know where we stand in our talents compared to the one who only had one. It was before my eyes all the time. It broke a great mystery to the book of Revelations and how it sequences itself. And I haven't got the full understanding of all the verses, but I do got contextually the themes that are going through it and why they are. But people, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit has got to be your teacher. It can't be the glory of other ministers. It has to be the Holy Ghost. It isn't that you don't listen to other ministers. That would be wrong. But whenever a part just doesn't seem to fit, it's kind of like having a puzzle. And you got to sit down and take all these little parts and put them all together correctly in order for the puzzle to be put together complete. You know what I'm talking about. And so that's how when I listen to the Word of God, if there seems to be a part that's not fitting, me being a contextual teacher and understander, I got to have that part in there. And then it starts to fit. Well, I found out that the servant, the talents, Jesus was speaking to the nation of Israel. And they were given the one talent, and that was Jesus. And they buried him. So the natural seed will be lost forever. But the remnant that received Jesus out of that nation will form a new nation under David, and it will be preserved because of the remnant. For they can't come any other way than the way that the Gentiles come. And that is, you've got to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care who preaches that there are many ways to God. It's satanic, very satanic, because the way to the kingdom of heaven is a very narrow road. It's only one way. God does not complicate things and scatter them abroad, because many can go through that way of destruction. But God has narrowed it and made it fine. Not that it would be hard or difficult, but it would be clear. Jesus is the only way. And so, as you're traveling down the road of time like I was with my ministry, not knowing that God was preparing the Word of God in my heart, He wanted me to reach a plateau where I could begin to develop more correctly through the agency of the Holy Spirit to fulfill what He's called by His Word to do. Now I want to say something very boldly here. My staff, when they confronted me, I bore my heart to them and they all agreed. I was shocked. For they all agreed. And they say, now we've got direction. Now we know what we've got to do. And I hadn't realized how frustrating it is when you're trying to lead a church and not telling them where you're going. Because Proverbs 29:18 tells us very clearly, if you want to, turn there. And I'm going to be talking this morning about our church. And in Proverbs 29:18, it says this very clearly. It says, where there is no revelation or vision, some of your translations, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Where there is no revelation or vision. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's literally prophetic vision. A prophetic vision. The people cast off restraints. This word literally means they're left naked. They have no protection. Are you following me? You have to have a vision. But I never saw a vision clothing people. I never looked at it. When a vision is given, it clothes people with something. And if they're not clothed with something, then they're left naked and they have no protection. They have no direction. In Habakkuk chapter 2, that's a very interesting one as well. Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 2 or 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, Wait for it. Though it tarries means, though it be questionable, though it hesitates, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. This word tarry literally is a word also that means to loiter, to be in a place with no real purpose for being there. In the vision of my church, I had not realized the fullness of the magnitude of it. And as not realizing that, see, everything was questionable. Matter of fact, people were getting impatient, waiting for something to happen. But it finally dawned on me what was always in my heart I never looked at is what God had put there in my heart. Isn't that weird? And I finally caught it in my attitude with other people, and I caught it in my attitude with other churches and other ministers, not realizing that when I was copying an attitude, God didn't want me to take the attitude, but He wanted to see what I was focusing in on for the purpose of giving me a clear understanding of by His Word Christian Center. And so, in Haggai, it talks very, very clearly there that God visited the prophet to speak to Zerubbabel. How many of you remember that in Haggai? And God spoke to him in such a way that He encouraged him. And so Zerubbabel allowed the Spirit of God to come alive in him. And Zerubbabel was the one that the Lord had approached and said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Then the very next chapter after that one, He speaks very clearly that the former temple had its glory, but the later temple has a greater glory. And we're living in that greater temple that has a greater glory to it. Now, I want to, having said all that, I want to say this. What is our ministry's specific call? Well, I've always been embarrassed to say to it because the number one theme that always comes out in any church you're at is the salvation for the lost. But the thing that grieved me is how many that have come into the kingdom of God that are moving outside the kingdom of God, that they once were in the house of God. So my heart began to really search out and get answers from the Bible to really put it in the heart of believers to remain steadfast, strong, and grow up. And that's why I've been teaching things like being a good role model. But the church has turned to the lust of the flesh as a whole and now make the emphasis on money. And money is the lifeblood of the church. I don't care, not of the church, but of the body. Money is the lifeblood of the body. And so you've got a powerful tool that you've got to preach the kingdom of God against, and that is the natural man has to live in spite of your spiritual insight. Can I hear an amen? And so I started seeking the Lord. Now, where are we going from here? And I'm ready to retire, God. I meant, you know, your people have gotten enough out of me. I want to retire. And God told me, shut up. Then when I was getting that attitude, and John Cook knows I had that attitude. And so when I started getting that attitude, and I started praying, and I kept getting a bad check on the inside, that basic check you always get. My wife comes up here, one of the services here a year ago or so, and said, the Lord wants me to tell you, your ministry is just beginning. And I want to say, no, no. No, that's my wife. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She does. And so God began to minister to me here not too long ago. And He says, my son, who was I called to? Was I called to the world? And I says, yeah. He says, well, have you read your Bible lately? And I says, yeah. He says, actually, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He says, I wasn't sent to the nations. But did you know that his mission was to bring salvation to the whole world? You'll find this in Matthew 15:24, where Jesus said, that was a woman that wanted the crumbs off the table. And he said, what have I to do with you, you Samaritan woman? He says, I've been called to the lost sheep of Israel. She says, yeah, but even they get the crumbs off the master's table. She pushed the issue. I want something from you, I'm going to get it. And so as a result of Jesus' ministry to the natural sheep of Israel, in Matthew 15:24, his mission was that he brought salvation to the whole world. The Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles. You find this in Acts 13:42-49. But his mission reached the Jews as well, Acts 9:15. I believe the Apostle Paul was a writer of the book of Hebrews, because the Jews wanted to apostate Christianity and go back into Judaism, not wanting to leave God, but going back to their ancestral heritage. And Paul wrote that that's not the thing to do, because the superiority of the ministry of Jesus far surpasses the superiority of Judaism. And then the Apostle Peter, he was sent to the Jews, Galatians 2:7-8. But his mission reached to all the saved, both Jew and Gentile, 2 Peter 1:1. So when I was seeking for the ministry at By His Word Christian Center, just here recently, what am I to do, Father? Am I getting too many white hairs? Do I need to retire? What do you want me to do? And God said, listen, you just be patient and I'll speak to you. And he gave me a dream. And when I got the dream, I was a little shocked. But God was telling me in this dream to stay in the anointing you're called to. Don't try to think outside of your calling. Stick with your calling, and that's where you'll find the vision for your church. Do you know God is not working in just By His Word Christian Center? Has that really dawned on any of you? Did you know each church God is in and He's working well? And listen, I've seen churches go haywire thinking that they were the only church on the block that had the answer. Right. I'm beginning to see very clearly that God works in many people, many churches. God is moving. But many ministries and many churches have a specific call that they stick to, that they're successful with. And God was trying to get me to say, you have a part in the universal body of Christ as By His Word Christian Center, and you need to get back to your roots and stick to the calling that I've given you, and that is to build the house of the inner man. Right. And your focus is not to save the lost. Your focus is to reach the lost Christians. Yeah. And get them to grow up. Because the emphasis has always been on getting somebody saved. But nobody's doing anything to bring God's people to maturity. Yeah. And so God said, you'll play your part in this community, this town, and this area, if you just do what I've called you to do. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now I came to attention. I said, well, there's so many beliefs and so many callings. He says, I've called you to seek the understanding of my word through the Holy Spirit. I don't care who got CDs. I don't care what you're listening to. You stick to the Holy Ghost and let me balance out truth in your heart and give it anyway. I said, okay, I'll do that. But in the dream, what happened was this church called me. And they said they had many pastors come through, but the whole church wants you. You're the only pastor they want. And I said, well, that's good news, but I really wasn't looking for a church. Because in the dream, I had my church. I had you guys. I wasn't looking for a church. And so the dream kind of threw me off, but it was clear. You know, God does give you dreams. You know, we're talking Wednesday nights, you know, walk of the Spirit versus being led of the Spirit. And one of the things about being led of the Spirit, you will get a dream or a vision. And in this dream, I got to thinking, well, I'm not looking for a church. But man, they really want me. And I says, well, I guess I'll go ahead and accept it. And you know what they said? The board came back and said, if you're going to accept this ministry, we want to know what your credentials are. You know what I was thinking in this dream when they said that? Well, I don't really care whether my... What are they asking me for credentials when they want me to pastor the church? They came to me. I'm standing there. And I said, well, I guess I'll go ahead and give them a resume. And so I was standing there just as plain. And I said, I'm not going to flatter them. I'm just going to tell them what I am. I said, I'm a contextual teacher. I teach the Word of God. I believe in miracles. I went down the line and I said, this is what I am, period. It was the end of the dream. And I got up and I said, well, good Lord, what is that all about? And God said, that was me trying to tell you, you need to be what I've called you to be. And the church that He was telling me to be hired to, He was hiring me for this church. And He told me I had to be what I am. Because you go to different churches, they're different. They preach on one level. You go to another church, they're on another level. Go to another church and they're beyond you. But you know what? That isn't by His Word. We are a specific church with a specific calling, and that's what we want to get across to you today. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 19, when you think you're the only church, oh, what about Elisha the prophet? God, nobody's with you anymore. I'm the only faithful one. Aren't you happy, Lord? He's I've reserved 7,000 in Israel. Even, matter of fact, in Romans chapter 11, verse 1 through 7, Paul preached that the nation of Israel's mission really reached the Gentiles' nations for salvation. Romans 11, 11 through 13. Now, I'm sad to say that they were an unjust and unfaithful servant. They took the one talent God could trust and went and buried the sucker. And that was the person of Jesus. He came right up out of that nation. And they buried Him. And so God is telling me, He gave me specific directions of how the church and me should pray right now. Do you know that Satan's not after a specific church? Did you know that? He's after the churches that stick to the Word. Satan is after the Word of God. He'll do anything he can to keep you from the Word of God. He's not after Jan Butler. He's after the Word. He's not after John Cook. He's after the Word. How many of you follow what I'm saying? All you have to do is start receiving the Word of God and you've got problems. I've had people leave here and then I run across them and they gave me the testimony, oh, they loved coming by His Word, but ever since they started attending by His Word, all hell broke loose, so they had to leave. That made me feel good. I must be giving them the Word. But I have come to the conclusion, just here recently, in Paul's explanation of his ministry, he was basically saying, Satan goes after the Word. Because he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Satan gave me a thorn in the flesh. And he mentioned what the thorn was. It was not blind eyes or anything like that. But what it was, is that Satan, he is a hating Satan. But Satan kept hitting him at every turn of the road. Why? Well, I even got a Bible up in my office. I wanted to throw it on the ground and I wanted to set a match to it and then dance around it. This is of the devil. But this Bible says, right in that translation there, it says, he was given a thorn from Satan because God gave him an abundance of revelation in the flesh so that he wouldn't be prideful. I should have brought the Bible down and read it to you. You all go, not. It's not what it was saying. He was saying, I was caught up to the third heaven and I was given revelation that no man could give directly from the Lord Jesus himself. I was brought back into the earth and Satan buffeted me at every turn of the road because of the abundance of revelation that was in his heart to keep him from being exalted. God wants the word exalted.
Amen.
And that's what Paul's explanation. He went to God and said, hey God, what's the problem here? I'm just doing ministry. I'm winning the lost. I'm just doing everything I can for you. And then the devil's on my case. Will he? You know what God basically said after he sought the Lord three times? Three times. You know what God says to him? Enjoy. My grace is sufficient for you. I would have liked to have said, don't worry, Paul, I'll get the devil off your back. Matter of fact, when he was died on the road, the Appian Road, the Appian Way, when he lost his head, a tradition tells us that that everyone forsook him except for a few, Timothy and Mark and them, was still alive. And tradition says that as he was going, They cut his head off is what they did. That's what I'm told. And they took the scarf that was had blood on it off of Paul and threw it to the crowd. And I guess the scarf that landed on somebody, they got healed. Paul was so full of the anointing of God. It just, that was that special anointing Paul had by claws, playing claws. That's why I don't call for claws much, because God has never led to me. Because God said, if you're going to start passing out claws, he says, you'll be graced in it. He says, but really, he says, when I speak to your heart to lay claws up here, it's because the anointing is going to be on you to do it. There's a place of sacrifice, of prayer and fasting for something like that. You put up here 500 scarves, you're bound to get somebody healed. But it's not necessarily what God called you to do on prayer clause, unless he does that. And I believe that that's coming, because I've been asking God about it. So we've changed our slogan. If you will, pass out all the papers now to the people. And it speaks to what we're really all about as a church this coming year. We're not a special church. We're not called to take Tacoma for God, because there are other churches who have taken Tacoma for God. We're just one of those churches. Amen. But this year, Dean Braxton, when he approached John and I, Dean had said, why don't you get a bunch of young people together and start pouring into them what you know about the Word of God, because time is marching on. And I've been praying about that, and finally, God's been speaking to me to get a bunch of people by personal invitation, get them together and pour what I know in the Word of God into them in detail as much as I can. And I'm praying about that. I haven't been really led yet as to who to call and who to pour myself into. I know one of them would be my son, Tim. He's doing a good job on his own. But you have these papers in front of you, and I guess they're going to show them up here. The key word that we have is connect. If you don't connect with the Word of God, you will not connect with people. Connecting with people is the ultimate call of everyone's ministry. I don't care whether you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. All of the, even the fivefold ministry teaches you how to connect with people. If you don't know how to connect with people, you're just a legend on your own. But God would want his ministers to be able to connect. So by his word, Christian Center, our slogan is reaching to train, stabilize, and mature the body of Christ. That is what reaching is. Reaching is connecting people to build family affection for the purpose of one body, one spirit, and one hope of the calling of Christ, Ephesians 4:4. And you know, most believers do not look at a local body as an individual marriage. And Paul said, I speak concerning Christ in the church in Ephesians 5, when he talked about a husband and wife and how they relate to each other. And he says, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. And what he was saying is each individual church has what they call a marriage. You have one that leads and one that submits. And that's where Paul was really going to because of where he ends up in the book of Ephesians. He said, this is a great mystery, but when we join a church, we don't seem to think that it's actually connecting up to family. We don't see it that way. We just see it as another church on the block. But you know what you're hooking up to? You're hooking up to the vision that we have. You're hooking up to what I'm sharing with you right now this morning. The purpose of you being at Bias Word is because you want to hook up to the vision that it represents. And so that's what I'm spelling out to you. What is our vision? We're after the lost sheep of Christianity. That is what we're after. Because if we win them back to the place that they belong in Jesus, you watch, you'll see people get saved. You'll see soul winners. Nothing grieves my heart more than to hear somebody say, you've got who in your church? They're saved? Boy, it hurts my heart. But you know what? I go to defend them anyway. I go to defend them anyway. You want to know why? Because most of the time the people that say that, they just looking for excuses to stay out of church. Are you following me? So they always see the negative side of everybody. So I don't buy that gimmick any longer to blame another believer for somebody else's decision not to go to church. Each person's going to be held accountable for their own choices, in spite of other people. But I'm going to do my damnedest to see everybody grow up. Either that or it's damned. So what does reaching mean? Well, first of all, it means connecting people to build family affection for the purpose of one body, one spirit, one hope of the calling of Christ, Ephesians 4:4. Training. Oh, here we go. In the training stage, the focus is helping believers grow to a place where they can hear the Word of God for personal change. In cultivating commitment and establishing consistency, the proper foundation can be built, helping them realize who they are in Christ and how the Holy Spirit works in their life. The emphasis on the practical applications of the Word helps them bring discipline to the flesh, grow spiritually, and become a better witness for Christ. That is what, there's reaching and there's training. Reaching and training. And then the word stabilizing. We give a definition here as well. A stable Christian is one who has good fellowship with Christ, which translates into good fellowship with others. Stable Christians take responsibility and are dependable both for the work of the ministry and the daily interaction of relationships of life. At this stage of development, believers will be pressing in to hear the voice of the Lord to a greater degree. Because they can hear His voice, they are not easily moved off the foundation of the Word, despite adversities and failing in others. They are a house which is built on a rock. That is our vision. That is our goal for you and for those who are no longer in fellowship with the Lord where they need to be. And we're going to reach out into our community and we're going to go after these type of believers. We're going to give them something that they need to hear to draw them back to the place that they belong in Jesus Christ. That is my goal. You want to know why? Because ultimately, down where the rubber meets the road, there are a lot of sinners out there that need to get saved, and we need to be a better role model and a witness for that to happen. Stabilizing. That is a definition to that. And what is maturing? You know, my staff hit me with that. What does it really mean to be mature? Well, in this stage, an individual is ready to be used of God to a greater degree. They are not easily offended because they have the attitude of a servant. They are more interested in what they can put into other lives and serving them rather than being served. They are givers in every area of their lives. Love is not just something that is talked about. It is something that is lived. 1 Corinthians 13. A mature Christian is a perpetual learner and a perpetual witness, not only through their words, but through their actions, habits, and character. That's what our definition of mature is. And that is our goal as a church. We care about people. We especially care about the lost. The lost is our ultimate goal. But too many times over the years, people have not really put the question to themselves. When you bring them into the house of God, where do we bring them up in growth? That's why our Sunday morning service is going to be more geared towards the practical. I'm looking for more of a move of God and the power of God. The churches are starting to abandon the move of God in a church and the power of God because there are some people that have a tendency to an act of flesh. I'm not going to shut the Holy Ghost down in this church just because somebody moves out in their flesh. I'll move the flesh out. Keep the Holy Ghost moving. Amen. A lot of ministers are out there ministering now. And I got news for you. God is not working in just by His Word. God is out working through itinerants and missions. And God's moving all over the world. I hear it all the time. God is moving. God is healing. God is delivering. God is transporting. God is levitating. God is moving in His power. And if you really want the truth at all, it's all in these third world countries. God really gets to moving because the third world countries don't have the prosperity that America has. You want to talk about committed to God? I'll tell you, if you're committed to God in America, you're something because prosperity is not pulling you away from the commitment that you have for your Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God isn't through with America. I heard America's on its last leg. It is not. God is not. America is not on its last leg with God. You want to know why? Because America has done a great thing for God. It has opened up its shores and said, you can have freedom of worship and I'll put God on my money on it. So, are you following what I'm saying? And no, they tried to move God out of the money. It doesn't matter. It's just the old sinners that need salvation. But basically, as a whole, America is a Christian nation because our forefathers were men of God and women of God, and we're not going to let their praise and their vision for America dropped because a little bit of Satan running around. Devil ain't going to run us off. You know what? You give him a black eye, just come to church because you love God. No, people, don't listen to that kind of garbage. You know the only thing that's going to fail in America? Is the remnant that's not with God. It's called the social system. It will fail. It'll go to failing. But God's system in America, it has a place of refuge. It has a city of refuge. And you and I can bank on that city of refuge. But in the meantime, we need to look the devil cross face to face, square in the eye and say, listen, you rat, we're going to have some warfare going on here. I'm going to cut your head off. Never before, just recently, have I been so shocked at the miracles God's doing in our church. The healings and stuff. A matter of fact, Patty, she comes up here last Sunday night. Remember my cousin Patty and her family? They wanted me to pray for Patty because she's had an aneurysm in her head for years. And it slowly was getting worse. And they said they had to go in and operate on her. Oh. I'd laid hands on her. I said, you aneurysm, you vacate. Get out of the body. they put an operator on her and they had to, well, there ain't nothing there. There ain't nothing there. Roberta, she tickled me to death. The Lord gave me a... No, she didn't tickle me to death. But anyway, she come running up here, wanted prayer, laid hands, and God gave me word. There's nothing there. She went back to doctors. That's all they gave. Nothing there. That's what we want. We want a God that knows how to stand behind the words and scriptures that He has put down for us to declare. Glory. Well, this is what our church is about. Did you all get the vision in your hand? Now, I do have to give credit for my administrator, John Shear. He helped labor over putting this all together in words that... And I thought he did an excellent job. So, John, you want to come up here and say something? Or come on up. He has something he wants to share with you. And no, we're not going to cancel the service tonight because of the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. After going through all this, you know, we're canceling tonight's service because we're out in the Super Bowl.
But the Saints are playing.
That's right. Boy, that's lightning quick mind. You see why I got him as administrator? Boy, that's right. Yeah. We're canceling service tonight. Saints are playing. No, just kidding.
Praise God. All right, well, I just wanted to come up. We actually established a few goals for this year to try to help accomplish this. And so go ahead and put that first one up. So this is what he already shared. Pastor already shared this part with you. Reconnect to our core purpose. But the second part is to align our church community to accomplish it.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, on that piece, it's going to be a process, right?
Right?
You know, it doesn't just happen overnight. Just because we put the vision out there, it just doesn't, you know, happen overnight. I was thinking about where God gave David the vision to build the house.
Yeah.
And I was just reading real quickly. And you know what? David wasn't to build the house, right? He passed it to his son Solomon to build the house. But what David said there was, he said, he's not very experienced and he's kind of young. And so David, being a sharp individual and a great leader, amen, he brought around many, many craftsmen people to help accomplish that goal. And you know, the people that are around Pastor to help accomplish this vision are the people in this room. The people connected to By His Word. The people that have been faithful over the years. And I just want to let you know that, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, when they went to build the temple, it was a lot of work. You know, sometimes it's easy, especially, you know, in our McDonald's generation mindset, where we want everything to be just quickie, snappy, it's going to be no problem. You know, we can do things so fast nowadays, we forget that sometimes there's a lot of sweat and a lot of work that goes into getting things done. Amen?
Yes.
And if we're going to get things done, it's going to require work. And so I want to challenge everybody in this room that you play a part. Okay? Because if we build this church in the sense of numbers, 400 or 500 more people attend in a year or two, I guess what? There's going to be a lot of people that need help. There's going to be a lot of people that need services rendered to them in that sense. And if we're a mature believer or even a stable believer, even someone that has a semblance of training that's been kind of connected to some of the things that Pastor put forth in those words, and I think those are good, you should meditate on those. Because I don't know what stage of development I'm in, but I do know that I want to go where God wants me to be. Amen? I don't know what stage of development all you are in, but I know that you need to focus on getting where God wants you to be. Okay? And growing up in God and getting more mature and doing things, you know, when you're 17 and your parents are taking care of everything, it's good. When you turn 18 or 19, all of a sudden you have to have a little more responsibility, it gets a little harder, doesn't it? Okay? Well, that's what maturity brings. That's what God asks us to do. It's not a burden though, it's a great privilege to step into what we've been called to do, what we've been equipped to do, what we've been asked to do by God. And, you know, I'm not going to stand here and say that it's easy. It's never easy. God never asks us something that's easy. It's usually outside of ourselves. It's usually a little bit frustrating to the flesh. But if we'll focus on what God wants us to do, we can accomplish everything. So I challenge you this year, reconnect to that core purpose. Reconnect. Read this thing. Make it a part of who you are. Get a hold of what Pastor shared this morning. If you need to, listen to it again and again. And ask God every single day, every single opportunity you have, God, how do I fit? How do I play a piece in this? What kind of labor, what kind of craftsmanship am I supposed to bring to this church to accomplish the vision that you put before this church? And I like the first part of the vision where it says reaching in family affection. Because an effective family is one where everybody participates, not where just the parents are doing all the work. All right? The more effective we become as a family, the more involved our children become in the family. And it should, you know, I love watching different things or seeing, you know, like the old family farm where, you know, the kids would get raised and then they had to be a participant in the family if they wanted to eat, right? You know, because they're another mouth that had to be fed. They're another person that needed substance. And that's the same concept that we have in the church. We're a family. And we've got to be participants in that family. Amen? Amen? So pray about how God would have you be a participant. If you're participating now, then keep praying that God will give you energy. I know I'm doing that. Amen. Okay, I don't know about you, but this, you know, ministries work. You know, I remember when Ted and Autumn came back from Rhema and they said that the first day that Pastor Hagin had a class that all it was, basically he got up there and screamed the whole time for about a quarter, that ministries work, WORK, if you don't want to get out of here, get. You know, basically that was the gist of the class, right? Every single class, basically he said that. Ministries work. It is work. Hey, if we're going to be a part of the kingdom of God, we've got to work. We've got to be a part of it. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and put up the second one. Prepare our young people to be the church of today and tomorrow. We want to be a church that's able to reach all generations. You know, I talked to Pastor about a year ago. I said, Pastor, I mean, I'm okay with it if you're okay with it. If we just want to grow up and not reach young people, he pretty much slapped me upside the head and said, no, we're going to be a church that reaches every generation. Our young people are important. And we need more young people. Amen. We need more young people involved. We need more young people to become active participants in this church. Not just in the youth ministry, but as ushers, as greeters, as security, in worship, in ministry. And I'm excited all the time when I see young people. I'm talking young people like 20 to 30 something. That's a good, you know, young person, 20 to 30 something. Because the youth, they're involved in the youth ministry. But, you know, when young people grow up, they need to become participants in the family. Amen. Become somebody that, now if they go to college or something like that, that praise God, we're behind them. We're supporting them. If they go to work in ministries or something like that, like, praise God, they're still connected to us. But if you're here and you're a young person, get involved. Amen. You got a whole lot of energy. You need to do it. I think I'll give you this testimony. The best thing that ever happened to John Shear was the moment I made a decision to start stacking chairs for the youth ministry. And I was just, I was blown away because I couldn't commit a lot. I was working lots and lots of hours when I was like 20 something, right? Working a ton of hours, you know, doing what I did. But I could come, I made a way in my schedule, working retail, working evenings, and I made a way to always come to church a couple times a week. You know, that's the great thing about having three services a week. You're not limited. If you don't have Sundays, you can't come to church here. Amen. You got an opportunity to come to church. That's a good thing. For me, it was a great thing. Because I worked hours where if it would have been just Sunday morning, I'd have never been able to come to church. I'd have had to connect some other way, and it would have been hard for me. Amen. I'd have had to get involved some other way. But I remember when I got committed to just stacking the chairs, I would come after the service was over, I would sit in here, and I would just go stack the chairs for the youth ministry. And I remember everybody's like, you know how much of a blessing that is. It's amazing. I can't believe. I was just like filling this little niche, right? But it was such a blessing to those people that were involved. I was like, okay, this isn't really hard. I'm just stacking chairs, right? You know, I mean, I didn't even talk to anybody. I just stacked the chairs. But that, for me, that was important, right? For you, it's important to get involved. To what degree you get involved is up to you and God. But you should get involved. And for me, that was a building foundation block for everything that I did from there. And God didn't just leave it at stacking chairs. He asked me to do more, but that's okay. Because I'm a growing person, right? If I ask my kids to just empty the dishwasher, at some point they should be able to stack it. At some point they should be able to wash the rest of the dishes by hand. At some point they may even learn how to cook some dinner, and that'd be a good thing too. Amen, as long as it's good food. All right? So we need to prepare our young people. And I'm just encouraging you guys. How do you connect? How do you connect to what pastor is? I mean, because you got to go away from here just like I go away from here every single service and say, well, what am I going to do today? I'm telling you what, if I wouldn't have gotten involved in the church, I would not be where I'm right now. And I've got a long ways to go, but I would not be where I am now if I wouldn't have got involved stacking chairs when I was 20-something. Praise God. Let's go to the next one. Prepare people for ministry. I'm not going to talk a whole bunch about that. Pastor, do you want to say anything on that? We'll leave that one. There's going to be some things that we're going to roll out. That's a loaded one right there. Praise God. That is a goal, though, and we're going to get there. We're going to figure it out. Four. So media, TV, web, getting on the rooftops to get the message out there. This is something that Pastor has been pounding on me for, what, about 3 years now. Really, we need to... And you know, we've been videoing the services, and I know everybody's not seeing it lately. A lot of that has to do with an equipment failure we had, but that's okay. But we're in some transition there, no doubt. Okay? But Pastor has really, really had as a desire to not just put out the message nationally or whatever on Sky Angel, but really to connect to our local community. That's the challenge we have. And I'm not 100% sure how to do that yet, but we're going to figure it out. We've got some ideas rolling around, and I think over the next several months, some of those things will come to fruition. We definitely are going to be getting some new equipment, which is a blessing. We're already funded for that, so you'll see some new cameras and some new things take place over the next several months. That's a good thing, okay? One of the ways we know we need to get out there a little bit more is in web. So you're going to see a complete redo of our website, a lot more video and audio involved in it, a lot more opportunities for you to send people to the web, to share the message, to have certain messages up there that will really be impactful. So we're really going to work hard at that over the next several months, and that's quite a project too, though. So that's definitely a goal for this year, though. We're going to accomplish much of that. Number five. The GRC remodel, which you guys, we've been talking about for the last month, and you know it's underway. We really hope to have that done by the first part of April, at the latest, the middle of May. So our first goal is the first part of April. Number six, Sunday school program to develop to reach people in all the stages of growth. So you're going to see the Sunday school program grow from where it is right now to even offer more classes, more opportunities, more different types of classes, some practical ones, some mature ones in that sense, so you can really pick and choose kind of what speaks to you. So we want to offer a lot of different offerings there, and we'll share more of that. The foyer and espresso remodel, we want to do kind of a facelift in the foyer. We have some funding for that, but we were probably going to need a little bit more. That's going to be a little bit later in the year. Number eight, sanctuary sound upgrades and soundproofing. That we are funded for, and you'll start to see that happen within the next several months. So some different sound treatments and different things in the sanctuary that will hopefully kind of kill a little bit of that echo that we got in here. So it's something we've been needing to do for a while, and we'll work towards that. Amen. Helps our ears to stay good. But more than that, we want to have good audio. So that everybody can hear well and participate well in service. Amen? All right.
Well, are you guys ready to go home and get your Super Bowl stuff out and get ready? For those of you who are not interested in Super Bowl, we have service tonight. All right. Somebody asked me, whose side am I on in the Super Bowl? Well, I got to thinking about it. I'm not really into Colts, unless it's guns. So if the Colts were named after a firearm, I might be on their side. But seeing how the name is the Saints, I guess I'm going to have to go with the Saints. Amen? Stand up, everybody. Praise God. Sorry we kept you a little long, but you'll be blessed by it. Father, I thank you for the men and women that have come out this morning to church and to be a part of it. And we're going to close the service now, Father. Father, if there be any new people here, Father, we invite them to a hospitality room in the back of the sanctuary. And Father, if there's anybody here today that would like prayer, whether it's for physical healing, for salvation, Father, for a restoration of their walk with you. Father, we'll be here to pray for them. Physical healing, whatever it is that they need, Father. We'll be here to meet that need that they request of you. And Father, may everyone who is here this morning be blessed. May they all connect with the vision of Bias Word. Now that they know what we are really focused on and what we're all about and where we're headed, because that's just where you placed us. With that said, God bless you. You're dismissed.